answer. There is something going on now.
Aerial views take in the Statue of Liberty and the skyscrapers of New York City. A title appears. Get a clue. Cars and people fill the bustling streets of the city. Tall buildings sit under a bright blue sky. The flags of various countries flutter outside a large stately building. A traveling view takes in boutique stores. A doorman standing under a building's awning greets an older woman as she exits onto the sidewalk carrying a small white dog. A view tilts up to the building's windows. In a room, a cell phone, a pair of high-heeled pink boots, and makeup brushes lie scattered on a couch, among other items. A messy desk holds a computer and a keyboard. A full-length mirror stands near a chair shaped like a high-heeled shoe. A colorful outfit hangs from a clothes stand. In a canopy bed, a red-headed teenage girl lies wearing an eye mask that reads Best Friend. A photo on a nightstand shows the girl embracing a curly-haired woman. The teen stirs in bed. She lifts her mask and sits up, frowning as she wipes the corner of her mouth. She dons a headset lying on the nightstand.
Hey there, sunshine.
Morning, Jen.
The redhead shrugs, then opens her eyes wide.
Awake yet?
Now I am.
She gets up and heads to the desk with the computer. Taking a seat, she taps the keyboard and clicks the mouse. A video chat opens up on the computer monitor, showing a dark-haired girl in a bedroom.
Hey!
Hi.
So, what's your outfit du jour? I've narrowed it down to two. Ready?
Jen holds up a t-shirt and a skirt in different shades of blue. The redhead cringes.
Don't care much for that one.
Okay. There's this timeless ensemble.
A stripey outfit.
Now that I could borrow. It's Trey cute, you think? Most definitely. Okay, my turn.
Jen sets down her clothes while the redhead grabs her outfit. A light blue button-down shirt over a white tank top and patterned pants.
Oh, three words. Fabulous.
Thanks, Jen.
See you. You know where. As always.
The redhead looks in the mirror while holding up the outfit. Now, a man taps a blonde girl with a newspaper before sitting down to breakfast with the redhead and the curly-haired woman. The blonde wears glasses with lights.
I don't get it, Dad. If you don't like that paper, why do you read it every day?
Because I'm a reporter, Taylor. I'm curious. Besides, it's important to keep your eye on the competition.
The Daily Examiner is a competitor to the New York Times?
Yes, I know it's hard to believe, but true.
I read it religiously.
Oh, is it crispy, Gilda, the way I like it?
Like charcoal briquettes.
Great, thank you.
Would you pass the bacon?
Here, now turn your high beams off before you force me to do it for you.
Can you two maybe try to get along while I'm out of town?
I can try, but it's been my experience that she can't.
I assure you, can and won't are two very different things.
Lex, this is your article in the paper.
What?
Yeah, it's a gooey love picture.
A headline reads, Teachers Union.
I can't believe it. I submitted this to the Junior Journalist column weeks ago, and they actually ran it.
You've been selected. This is wonderful.
Oh, it is, honey. They ran your photo.
I use Taylor's digital spy camera. It shoots pictures from around the corner.
What's the article about, Lex?
You used my camera?
It's just a story about Miss Dawson and her friendship with Mr. Walker. They're both teachers at Millington.
Ah, sounds like a human interest piece.
Yeah, definitely human interest.
Gossip.
Hello. Yes, you'll be right down.
We'll celebrate when I get back.
Okay, we'll go shopping on Madison Avenue. Just the two of us.
Sounds like fun. I better go.
Hey, Ma, why don't you take Lexi with you?
I wish I could take you all with me. Well, it's time to leave. I trust that everything's going to run smoothly while I'm away.
Doesn't it always?
The parents kiss.
You have a successful trip.
Bye, girls.
Bye, Mom. Love you.
Be good in school.
Now, kids walk down a city street talking on cell phones.
Cool. Yeah.
They wear fashionable clothes.
No way.
A teen wears hot pink boots while another walks in a purple coat with a fur collar. A boy with spiky hair sports dark shades and a red jacket. Lexi walks among the teens carrying books and a binder. She wears tinted glasses and a purple leather jacket. Indoors, a boy opens a door into a stairwell as Lexi climbs the steps.
Hey, Lexi.
Hey, Lexi.
She waves to her fellow students as she enters a bustling hallway.
What's up?
A girl turns to her.
Congratulations, Lexi. It's so exciting. The Daily Examiner.
Mr. Walker? And Miss Dawson? No way.
Who knew?
What a scandal.
You shine, Lexi.
Thanks, guys.
Lexi continues moving.
Hey.
Hi. Lexi.
Hey.
A balding man exits a classroom with a student.
Oh my gosh, there's Mr. Walker. I don't know what Miss Dawson sees in him. Ugh, and that hideous green coat.
Lexi approaches the teacher.
Hi, Mr. Walker.
Oh, Lexi. Hi, so I'll email that to you right away, Jack.
Thank you.
Mr. Walker!
A woman strolls over.
That's Miss Stern, the control freak admissions officer.
May I speak with you a moment?
Certainly, Ms. Stern. I'll see you both in class.
Miss Stern shoots a glance at Lexi, then strides down the hallway, followed by Mr. Walker. Jack watches them go, then eyes Lexi.
That was, some article.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah. Hedda Hopper had nothing on you.
Hedda who?
And you call yourself a writer. You should know. She was the most famous gossip columnist ever.
I am not a gossip columnist. I give advice in the school paper, and the article in the Daily Examiner is a human interest piece.
Right. Sure it is.
He leaves. A boy films Lexi.
All right, so what's your secret?
If I told you, it wouldn't be a secret now, would it, Gabe?
Oh, come on, how'd you get that shot of Mr. Walker? He won't even allow his picture in the yearbook.
You know what they say, a good reporter is always on the job. Hi, Gabe.
Hey, Jennifer.
Bye, Gabe.
Lexi walks off with Jen. The girls head to their lockers.
So, how excited are you about getting an article in the Daily Examiner? Everyone's talking about it. Well, Jack Downey just trashed it.
Ugh, of course he did. He's so jealous.
You think?
Come on, you snapped an amazing picture of your teacher's good side.
Then, you wrote a killer article about their secret romance, and it happened to run in a major New York newspaper. Think about it. The editor of the school paper is upstaged by a member of his own staff. He's dying over this. You're so right, Jen. Thanks.
What are friends for?
So true.
They head off together. Entering a classroom, they sit down at their desks. Two short-haired women, one brunette and one blonde, sit in front of the class.
Do you think Miss Dawson saw the picture?
I don't know. It's hard to tell.
May I have your attention, please?
The brunette rises from her chair.
Hello!
The students settle down.
As you know, it's career week, and we're very honored to have the participation of so many talented parents. I want your complete attention when they present. Now, our first speaker is a 12-year veteran of the CIA with 10 years as a covert operations officer. Everyone, let's give a big round of applause for Mrs. Somerville.
The blonde gets to her feet, grinning.
Thank you, Miss Dawson. The life of a CIA operations officer can be a very exciting one. You get to travel the world, explore different cultures, meet lots of interesting people. But it's a lonely life, filled with empty hotel rooms and late-night meals in two-bit diners. You begin to miss your cat.
Lexi knits her brow. Now, a sign reads the Millington Bugle student paper. A teen walks into the office where students work at tables while others move around. Lexi and Jen sit at computers across from each other.
Jack, could you come over here and look at these mock-ups?
A partition separates the girls.
Ugh, I think my brain is in meltdown. Can we go home yet? What will people in this school do without me? Listen to this. Dear Lexi, my friend and I had a fight. We made up, but the mean thing she said about me still hurt. What should I do? Signed, bummed out. This is a bummer. What will you prescribe, Dr. Gold? Well, I'm thinking that she has to be honest with her friend and tell her how she feels. That's what I do with you. And I with you. Then she should reward herself for speaking out by picking up a cute little Jelly Roll handbag. Excellent advice. She'll feel better in no time. Definitely.
Okay, everyone. Time for our weekly meeting.
The students, including Jack, Lexi, and Jen, gather around a table. A teacher sits at the head of the table holding a newspaper.
Now, for our first order of business, as most of you are already aware, Lexi Gold was honored today by the Daily Examiner, which published an article and photograph she submitted to their junior journalism section. Let's give her a round of applause.
Yeah.
Jack applauds reluctantly.
Your editor, Jack Downey, would now like to say a few words.
I would?
The teacher nods.
I would. Thank you, Mr. Goldblum. I guess I'd just like to say that we're all proud when one of our own is able to make their way onto a more visible platform, especially a colleague from one of our, well, softer news areas.
Lexi frowns.
So, congratulations, Lexi. Today, the Daily Examiner, tomorrow, the Post.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Got us on the mountaintop.
Thanks, Jen.
The girls bump fists.
Listen, I'm going to need your copy if you want to make the next issue. This story's kind of old news.
You know what, Jack? I actually owe you a thank you. It was because you wouldn't run my story in the school paper that I sent it to the Daily Examiner in the first place.
Later, Lexi walks out of a restroom clutching her books.
Gertrude, you startled me.
I need to talk to you.
Lexi spies on her teachers.
What more is there to say?
I just don't understand.
Don't talk so loud, okay? I never meant to hurt you.
Really? Then what did you mean to do?
Miss Dawson gazes teary-eyed at Mr. Walker.
What changed? We made all those plans. Orlando, I love you.
Okay, well, I don't love you.
Lexi furrows her brow.
That's what's changed. Can you understand that?
Miss Dawson hangs her head.
I guess I'm gonna have to try. I'm sorry I ever met you. If you think I'll continue to press you in these halls, you're sadly mistaken. One of us has to leave Millington, and I assure you it's not going to be me.
She storms downstairs. Assuming a casual position at the bottom of the stairs, Lexi smiles at her teacher.
Hi, Miss Dawson.
Hi, Lexi.
Jack comes upstairs. As Miss Dawson heads off, he trades a glance with Lexi. Now, a pink-tinted sky hangs over the Manhattan skyline. Lexi sits in her room typing on her computer. Her dad enters dressed in a suit.
Hey, you. You all ready for bed?
Yeah, I just had to finish answering some mail for my column. There just aren't enough hours in the day.
Sorry I missed dinner. The press conference I was covering ran long. The mayor was asking state legislators to increase aid to city schools, and let's just say things didn't go very well.
It's okay, Dad. That sounds pretty important.
Well, not as important as you. Bedtime.
Lexi rises from her chair.
And how was your day?
It was okay.
She climbs into bed. Her dad sits on the edge.
I read your article.
He takes out a newspaper clipping.
Nice job. It's well written. You've got a good theme. I'd call it a heartwarming piece of journalism.
Really?
Absolutely.
Dad, have you ever written something that, I don't know, caused something else to happen?
Well, sure, that's what real journalism is all about, and you'll get there. This is good work, Lex. You should be proud.
I'm proud. I'm really proud. I want to write a hard news piece, you know, like you do.
Well, you don't start with hard news. You work your way up to it. That's what I did.
How?
Well, let's see. I was working at the Mercury Herald in the classifieds when I got a lead on something. I did a little investigation on my own and discovered a toxic waste dump was hidden underneath the local burger joint. So I pitched the story to the editor and made the front page of the Herald. After that, they made me staff writer.
Wow.
There's stories all around you, Lex. You just have to keep your eyes open, and when you get a hunch about something, investigate it.
I think I can do that.
I know you can do that. You'll be amazed what hard work, imagination, and a little luck will bring you. Good night.
Hugs and kisses, Dad.
Hugs and kisses, my sweet girl.
Lexi lies down and pulls up the covers. The room goes dark. Daytime. Cables pull a submerged car from a body of water. A man in a suit and tie watches from the edge of a concrete pier, sporting a twirly handlebar mustache and holding a paper cup. Behind him, a reporter faces a cameraman next to a police cruiser. The mustached man sips from his cup as the car is lifted out of the water. On a street, Jack approaches a newsstand and pays the vendor.
How you doing, man?
He picks up a paper. Above a photo of Mr. Walker, a headline reads, "Teacher marked absent." Jack frowns. At home, Lexi's dad shakes her awake.
Lexi, sweetie, wake up.
Huh? Dad, what time is it?
Honey, I've got something to tell you, and it's not very easy. I just got a call from one of the editors at the paper, and apparently your teacher, Mr. Walker, he's missing.
She sits up.
Wait, what happened?
There isn't much information yet, but they did find his car in the East River early this morning.
Oh, my gosh. And Mr. Walker?
He hasn't been found yet. There's a lot of speculation, but things don't look very good. Look, kiddo, this is going to be a tough day for you. Why don't you get ready and I'll walk you to school.
Wow, I can't believe this.
Lexi grabs her landline phone. Lying in bed wearing her headset, Jen presses a button.
Jen! Jen, wake up!
Huh?
He's what?
Lexi walks to school.
News of Mr. Walker's bizarre disappearance spread faster than word of a Barney's warehouse sale. All I know is, if he set foot into that toxic river, he's gonna need a serious head-to-toe hydro-exfoliation body wrap. Even the fish refuse to live there.
A news van and police cars sit parked outside the school.
Jeez, there's a lot of cameras here. I hope they get my good side.
Indoors, two boys hold the doors open as Lexi and Jen strut down the school hallway, dressed in stylish black dresses and carrying chic handbags. At their lockers.
The only good thing about being in mourning is that black is always in.
I know. Whoever thought of that was so far ahead of their time.
I can't believe all of the coverage that Mr. Walker's getting.
Who would have thought he was so popular?
Miss Stern's outfit is to die for, literally.
Isn't it strange that the day from my article runs, he just disappears?
Yeah, it's a real shame.
A shame? It's too weird.
Gabe comes over filming.
All right, Lexi, so what's the scoop on Mr. Walker?
What?
Oh, come on, I know you have the inside story on him. Where is he?
I have no idea, Gabe, but you're really starting to bug me.
Now, a stuffed owl sits on Miss Dawson's desk.
Well, as you all know, we've had a bit of a crisis in our school, Mr. Walker.
She fights to keep her expression level.
Mr. Walker, nonetheless, classes will continue for the time being. Now, our next guest speaker is here. He is a small business owner who is an award-winning taxidermist. Everyone, Mr. Greenblatt.
The man holds a taxidermy fish.
Poor Miss Dawson. The man she loves is missing. And even worse, yesterday he told her to take a hike. She must be Wigan. A deep tissue massage at the Peacock Spa would do her wonders.
Mr. Greenblatt wipes down a fresh fish. Jen cringes.
Now, if at all possible, wrap your fish in a wet towel.
A suited man enters.
Excuse me, Miss Dawson. Is Lexi Gold here?
Me?
Outside, a policeman guards the doors of the Millington Bugle. Mr. Goldblum walks away from the office, crossing paths with Lexi as she follows the suited man, who motions her into the office. Inside, a figure stands facing away from Lexi. It's the mustached man.
Ah, Alexander Gold?
Am I in trouble for something?
No, I was wondering if I could ask you a few questions. I'm Detective Potter. Please sit down.
Lexi takes a seat near a magnifying desk lamp. It shines in her face.
How do I know you're really a detective?
The man shows Lexi his badge and ID. It reads NYPD Homicide Morris Potter. Lexi smiles sheepishly.
Now, I understand you write a gossip column for the school newspaper.
It's an advice column.
It seems you may have some special knowledge about a relationship between Mr. Walker and Miss Dawson. Is that correct?
Potter holds a notepad. Lexi pushes away the desk lamp and removes her black beret.
Before I go any further, I just want to say congratulations on your article that appeared in yesterday's Daily Examiner. It was most impressive.
Oh, you saw it?
Oh, yes. What a great photo. Did you take it?
Yes, I did. Thank you. You know, up until my article ran, I was the only one who knew how in love Mr. Walker and Miss Dawson were. Mm-hmm. Well, I told my best friend Jennifer. And then yesterday...
What happened yesterday?
Well, they broke up. Actually, he broke up with her. Miss Dawson was really upset.
He raises his eyebrows.
You witnessed this?
Well, they were arguing, and she said one of them was going to have to leave Millington, and it wasn't going to be her.
You know, she might be a big help.
Potter shifts his gaze thoughtfully.
I'll be in touch if I have any further questions.
Lexi gathers her things and rises.
Detective Potter, sir, has anyone ever told you that you'd look better without the knobs?
He touches his mustache.
No.
Well, I really think you should consider it.
That'll be all, Miss Gold. Thank you for your time.
The pleasure was mine.
She leaves. Potter's hand moves to his mustache again as he watches her go. Miss Dawson approaches the office. Lexi gives a small smile and steps aside as the teacher goes in.
Miss Dawson, I'm Detective Potter. Please have a seat.
Did you find him?
No, not yet.
Lexi peeks at Miss Dawson through a gap in the door. Jack approaches.
So who are you eavesdropping on this time?
Shh. There's a detective in there with Miss Dawson.
I have good advice from more than one source that you and Mr. Walker had romantic times. Is that true?
Yes, it is.
When did you last see Mr. Walker?
Miss Dawson shakes her head.
Well, yesterday afternoon.
Did he seem angry? Was he upset?
He was perfectly fine.
Really? I learned from one of your students that you had a significant altercation with Mr. Walker yesterday and threatened him if he did not leave the school. Is that accurate?
Miss Dawson looks down. Potter regards her.
Would you mind coming downtown with me for further questioning?
Lexi and Jack listen at the door.
I think I'd better contact my lawyer.
Later, the teens climb a staircase.
Oh, no, that detective thinks that Miss Dawson has something to do with Mr. Walker's disappearance, and it's all my fault.
Don't flatter yourself. She's the lead suspect, even without your big mouth.
The only thing that woman is guilty of is loving him, and that's definitely a crime.
Why can't you just tell it like it is? She threatened him yesterday. We both heard it.
She didn't threaten him. She only said the school wasn't big enough for the two of them. Besides, she's way too petite to murder anyone.
Oh, well, didn't you ever hear of Lizzie Borden, the dainty murderess?
I think I've heard of Dizzy Borden. Look, I don't believe Miss Dawson killed Mr. Walker.
So, who did?
I don't know. Who said he was murdered? There's no body. They found his car, but no Mr. Walker. I mean, anything could have happened. He could have been taken hostage or something.
Yeah, okay, Nancy Drew, I think you've been sleuthing around the hidden staircase just a little too long.
I'm gonna get to the bottom of this, Jack Downey, and it's gonna be the front page news. Mark my words.
You don't know the first thing about Mr. Walker. I'm the only one who knows him, much less cares about him.
You know, you're right. As much as it pains me to say this, Jack, I think we should team up and investigate this thing together.
Well, what's the point of that?
Two heads are better than one. Besides, if you help me, I know we can crack this case wide open.
Are you serious?
Look, if you care about Mr. Walker, you sure have a funny way of showing it. Are you just gonna sit back and do nothing?
Lexi raises her eyebrows.
Oh, man, how can someone so selfish make me feel so guilty?
It's a gift.
Okay, but you gotta promise not to tell anyone, right?
Relax, who am I gonna tell?
Jack narrows his eyes. Lexi walks off, leaving him wearing a puzzled look. Now, cars travel down a busy street. The high-angled sun shines on the glass facades of several fashion boutiques. Mannequins sport stylish clothes. In a store, Lexi and Jen try on outfits.
Oh, I knew it!
You what?
That you liked him? Come on, Jen. This is strictly business. I told Jack I'd call him tomorrow with the time we'd meet.
You've got his number?
Cute.
They sample makeup.
So, Jen, what do you know about Jack?
Not much. I'm not interested. But you should be.
What?
Oh, get a clue. He likes you. That's why he treats you like a reject from the outlet mall.
Thanks.
Oh, come on. I think he's kind of cute.
He's tall, mysterious, just your type. That's not possible, Jen. I don't have a type.
At home, Lexi descends a winding staircase and enters the living room where her dad sits, writing in a notepad.
Hey, Dad.
Hey, honey, how was school?
Okay.
She sits beside him.
So, have you heard any news about Mr. Walker? They won't tell us anything at school.
Well, I did hear that they sent more divers to investigate the area where they retrieved his car, but I don't think they're going to find much. There's a strong current in that area.
If you were covering this story, where would you start?
Well, a good reporter always starts by looking into the subject's background for information.
What kind of information?
Anything that seems out of the ordinary. Because sometimes when you compile a lot of facts, it leads to answers.
That sounds like detective work.
Well, good reporters are kind of like detectives.
but they can't rely on police alone. They've got to do their own investigation.
Yeah, that really makes sense.
No, wait a minute. I can see your wheels turning. Mr. Walker's disappearance is not a human interest piece, Lex. It's a serious case, which means I don't want you to get involved.
Come on, Dad, I was just curious. Don't worry. Hakuna Matata.
She gets up, giving him a kiss on the cheek before heading out of the room with her fingers crossed behind her back. Now, signs on a door read Keep Out and Private Property, among others.
Who goes there? Who do you think? Be nice or get lost.
May I please come in?
Lexi's sister Taylor pushes a button on a small rectangular device. The door opens, revealing Taylor seated at a computer surrounded by curios and gadgets. Lexi enters the room and looks around.
What do you want? Well, nothing really. I just thought with Mom gone and all, I'd check on you, see how you're doing. You know, because I care.
The door shuts.
What do you think, I'm an idiot?
Well, actually, I like what you've done with the place.
A T-Rex skeleton model wears a red hat.
What's all this junk for?
It's not junk, it's important stuff.
Lexi picks up an object.
This is important?
It's a stealth listening device.
Lexi shrugs.
It means secret.
Taylor shakes her head.
Listen through here. Put it on your ear.
She gives Lexi a device with an earpiece, then leaves the room. Lexi yanks the device from her ear and puts it down. Taylor returns.
Pretty cool, huh? And this is my favorite. It's a wrist walkie-talkie. You gotta have it for hands-free agent-to-agent communication.
So where do you get all this stuff from anyway?
The corner spy shop.
Never heard of it.
It's right across the street from where Ma takes her Pilates classes.
In the spy shop, high-tech goggles sit next to a sign that reads, Ask Our Staff, Top Secret. A surveillance monitor shows Lexi blowing a kiss as Jack looks on.
This stuff is amazing.
Jack grins and follows Lexi to another display. Grabbing a spray can, she takes the top off and points it at him.
Hey!
Look, silly.
She unscrews the bottom.
Hey, yeah, it's cool. How'd you figure that out?
My dorky sister has something just like it at home.
Can I help you guys?
Yes. We're looking for some spy equipment.
Well, you've come to the right place. Come here. Let me show you something.
Jack follows the clerk while Lexi peruses more items. She checks out a watch, then heads past a glass case holding spy vision goggles. Two pairs of dark glasses sit on display.
Rearview glasses. Cool.
She picks up a pair and puts them on. Jen and Gabe enter the store. Lexi spots them and frowns. She heads over to them.
What's up with this?
Well, I was in the neighborhood and I just thought I'd stop by.
What's he doing here?
Who? Oh, him?
Yeah, that would be the he I'm referring to.
Well, there's actually a really good reason why...
Hear me out, Lexi. Look, it's only a matter of time before Dan Rather and Diane Sawyer show up to cover Mr. Walker's disappearance. But I'm gonna have the exclusive story.
You're gonna have the story? It's my story.
Jack comes over.
Hey, what's going on here? What are they doing here?
Yeah, what are you guys doing here?
In about 2 seconds, you both are gonna worship me. Are you ready? Gabe lives across the street from Miss Dawson.
And your point is?
Well, if we watch her for a few days and nothing suspicious takes place, maybe we can clear her name.
Right, or prove she had something to do with Mr. Walker's disappearance.
Exactly.
Gabe looks aside.
Cool camera.
He heads to a digital surveillance camera on display. Later, Lexi enters her apartment carrying a shopping bag.
So make yourselves at home, guys. I'll get the menu book and we can order some lunch.
The others follow her in. Jack looks around with his mouth open.
Wow. So this is how the other half lives.
He eyes paintings and a grand piano in the living room. Walking up to the doorway of the spacious dining room, he looks around, then heads into a TV room where the others sit. Gabe films on his video camera.
Okay, so, what's next, Lex?
Lexi removes her rear-view glasses and sets them down.
Okay, our mission is to identify any suspicious activity or clues that might tell us what happened to Mr. Walker.
Right.
Now, even though we have all this equipment, nothing can substitute for our eyes, ears, and intuition.
That's right. I think we should divide and conquer.
Good idea.
I propose that Jennifer and I go to Mr. Walker's house to search for clues, while you two go to Gabe's house and keep watch over Dawson's place. Did you get Walker's address?
Yeah, it's in Carroll Gardens.
Lexi frowns and looks at Jen. Gabe's eyes dart under his furrowed brow.
That's in Brooklyn?
Brooklyn? I am not stopping all the way out to Brooklyn.
Jennifer, a good spy does not question her assignment.
So what? I'm not a good spy. I'll live.
Jack eyes Lexi.
I guess I'm going with you.
I was afraid of that.
She picks up a cordless phone.
What are you doing?
What does it look like I'm doing? Calling a car.
Are you crazy? The big game's tonight. Traffic's gonna be bumper to bumper. Besides, showing up in a big hunk of Richmobile will stick out like two sore thumbs. I say the subway's the only way to go.
Oh, darn, you made me dial the wrong number.
Right. I made you dial the wrong number. You've never been on the subway before, have you?
Please, of course I have. I take it all the time.
Uh-huh. So let's go.
Jack wears a smug look.
Lexi!
On a bustling street, a man walks his dogs past a subway entrance that reads 68th Street Hunter College. He passes Lexi and Jack approaching the entrance. Jack walks ahead while Lexi stops, wearing an apprehensive expression. She continues toward the subway. Elsewhere, sitting on a fire escape, Gabe removes the surveillance camera from its box. He positions the camera on a rail, aiming the lens at an apartment window. He leans over the railing and looks down.
Jen, come on up!
On the ground, Jen wears a skeptical expression. She heads up the stairs, carefully edging past garbage cans and trash bags.
Okay, this is so not a photo op.
She crouches by Gabe, who adjusts the camera mounted on the rail.
Okay, come on, let's go.
Hold on, just making some technical adjustments.
A view from inside the apartment shows the teens on the fire escape.
Okay.
He hands her the empty box, then grabs a plastic bag, looking around furtively as they leave. Gabe turns back and positions a potted plant below the camera. He heads off, leaving the camera looking through the window. In Gabe's room, Jen browses videotapes lining a shelf while he sits at a computer.
Wow, this is some library.
Oh yeah, it's my lifetime collection.
Gabe's birth? You mean you even have that on tape?
Oh yeah, actually my dad just got me started really young. I've just been recording things ever since.
Impressive.
He sets the tape aside. Jen pulls up a chair and sits as Gabe picks up a dual-stick radio controller.
Everything's about set up.
He extends the antenna and fiddles with the controls. The camera on the fire escape pivots up and down. Gabe clicks a mouse.
And action.
Oh, this is so exciting.
On the computer monitor, surveillance video appears, showing the apartment's vacant living room. Gabe frowns and fiddles with the controller.
Maybe she's not home.
Yeah. You just have to sit and wait and... yeah.
Jen nods, watching the screen. Elsewhere, a train moves along an elevated track. Lexi emerges from Carroll Street Station.
Yes, I made it. I can't wait to tell Jennifer.
She eyes the people walking past. A man strums a guitar.
What?
Lexi turns in a circle.
How interesting. What a riot. I mean, who knew?
Ahead of her, Jack stops and walks back as she studies a map.
Okay. It's this way.
Actually, it's this way.
Pardon me, but do you see this paper in my hands? It's called a map. And according to it, Mr. Walker's house is that way.
Well, you know, first of all...
He reorients the map.
Second of all, it's that way. I've been there before.
He heads off. Lexi stuffs the map in a trash can as she follows. Meanwhile, Gabe slouches at his desk with a bowl of snacks while Jen files her nails. She spots something on the screen.
Look, she's home.
Jen leans forward. Gabe sets the bowl aside, wipes his hands on his clothes, and grabs the controller. In the surveillance footage, Miss Dawson switches on a light in her apartment... then turns on her TV and follows a workout video.
I love this exercise tape.
Jen does the workout. Gabe eyes her over his shoulder.
Are you crazy? She might be a murderer.
Jen swings her hips and lifts her knees one at a time. On the screen, Miss Dawson does a kick. In Brooklyn, Lexi and Jack walk down a busy street. People gawk at Lexi in her cropped fur jacket.
I feel like a store mannequin.
You mean like a dummy on display?
A homeless man steps in their path and frowns at Lexi.
Excuse us, sir.
The man brushes past.
Hey, didn't that man's coat look like the one that Mr. Walker used to wear?
Jack turns and eyes the man who carries a backpack. The teen shrugs.
I don't know. I didn't notice it.
I'm sure that was Mr. Walker's coat. I mean, how many of those hideous green frocks could there be in one city?
Later, Lexi and Jack walk down a tree-lined street.
Yeah, at the beginning of the school year, I came over here to pick up Mr. Walker's old computer. He was giving it to me. That's it right there.
Miss Stern emerges from an apartment building.
Oh my gosh, look!
It's Miss Stern.
They duck behind a pile of garbage on the sidewalk.
I'm surprised she doesn't have a nosebleed from being south of 14th Street.
Miss Stern wipes her hand.
That's funny, you don't seem to have a nosebleed.
Ha ha.
They rise, keeping an eye on the admissions officer.
What's Miss Stern doing to Mr. Walker's?
Wait a minute, I did see them having a weird conversation the day before he disappeared.
Yeah?
Well, that's sort of suspicious.
Suspicious of what?
I don't know, I'm just pointing it out.
Let's check out Mr. Walker's.
Moments later, the teens enter the apartment building. Lexi shuts the door behind her, then follows Jack up a flight of stairs. They arrive on the second floor landing and find an apartment door standing ajar.
Should we go in?
Well, we came all the way over here, didn't we?
Jack enters the apartment. Lexi follows him. Jack switches on a light, then enters a room. He and Lexi survey their surroundings. While Jack eyes a book lying open on a table, Lexi peers into the living room. An artistic sculpture in the shape of a sea creature sits on a coffee table. Lexi and Jack rifle through papers and other items on the table.
It's as if you were just here.
Jack searches a briefcase as Lexi goes through a box of files.
You know, I really like the sleuthing thing. I think I could be pretty good at it.
Lexi turns her head sharply.
Okay, I'm scared. Let's go.
Hey, whoa, we just got here. Let's look around a little bit.
Right.
Jack closes the briefcase and spots the letters NP by the handle.
Look at this. NP.
I wonder what that stands for.
Jack eyes the initials, frowning. The teens walk down a hallway looking into rooms. Jack disappears inside a room while Lexi continues walking. She enters a bedroom with a low, unmade bed and a chest of drawers across from it. A box of tissues, books, and other items clutter the top. A boombox rests nearby atop a standing appliance. Lexi opens a closet door. A mirror on the inside reflects a man standing behind her. In his room, Gabe cradles the controller as he sleeps in his chair. Next to him, Jen flips through a magazine. On the screen, Miss Dawson paces in her living room. Looking up at the screen, Jen closes her magazine and shakes Gabe.
Gabe, look! Gabe!
Waking, Gabe sits up and works the controller, zooming in as a man enters Miss Dawson's apartment, carrying a flower pot.
Who is that?
Gabe thumbs the controller stick. The camera pivots down. On the screen, Miss Dawson talks to the man who stands with his back to the camera. Miss Dawson's eyes widen as she and the man hug. Gabe wiggles the controller stick and the camera twitches sideways. The man steps back from Miss Dawson and smiles.
Mr. Goldblum?
In Mr. Walker's apartment.
Detective Meany.
And you two are on private property. Do you realize it's against the law?
No, sir.
We didn't. Of course not.
It is. Now, who are you, and what are you doing here?
I'm Lexi Golden. This is Jack Downey. We're students of Mr. Walker's.
Is he alive, sir?
That's police business. But if you know anything about his disappearance, I suggest you tell me now.
Oh, we don't know anything, sir.
Are you absolutely positive about that?
Of course we're absolutely positive about that. Do you have the time?
Meany checks his watch.
Yeah, it's 3:30.
How long have you been doing this? You know, police work.
Did you say it's 3:30? Because we're late for dinner.
It's a little early for dinner, isn't it, Jack?
Well, did you know that it's better to eat big meals early in the day? It's good for your digestive system.
No, I didn't know that.
So, we gotta get all the way across town. So we gotta go.
Well, I guess we'll be seeing you, detective.
Right, so we gotta go. Goodbye.
Meany watches the kids leave. Outside on the sidewalk.
Have you completely lost your mind?
I've never seen this side of you, Jack. You're scared, aren't you?
I'm not scared. I didn't want to upset the detective. He seemed kind of strange.
That's because he was not a detective.
What? And you know this because...
Because a New York detective could never afford a platinum watch, a Pumoni suit, and alligator boots.
Huh? A private detective can have wealthy clients and tons of money, especially in New York.
Maybe, maybe not.
Besides, how can you tell a Pumoni suit from across the room anyway?
Trust me, I can spot a knockoff from a mile away. And that was the real thing. Same with the watch, the best. Fine platinum band with 18-karat accents and mother-of-pearl dials that allow you to check the time in any two time zones simultaneously. It's the ultimate in chic. Just call it my New York sensibility hard at work.
Wow, who'd have thought that your insane obsession with material objects would actually come in handy?
I'll take that as a compliment. Hey, do you think that Miss Stern and this Meany guy are in on something together?
I don't know, but let's run a check on him, see what we find.
Good idea. We'll go back to my house.
Nah, we're going to my place. It's right here.
Jack crosses the street and heads toward a modest brick house. Lexi follows him. They reach the porch steps.
You live in Brooklyn? Why didn't you say so?
No one ever asked. Everyone assumes if you go to Millington, you gotta have a doorman and a summer house and all that. We don't have any of that. I'm at Millington on a scholarship.
Really?
Hi, Miss Jenrett.
Hi, Jack.
Yeah, really. Look, Brooklyn's not fancy like the Upper East Side, okay? I like it here. Everybody's cool. Look, I bet you don't know your neighbors, right?
Well, we don't really have neighbors, because we own the whole floor. But I did meet the people below us when I overflowed the bathtub once.
Jack nods.
Right. Overflowed the bathtub. Come on.
Jack goes inside. The screen door swings shut in front of Lexi, who opens it and heads in.
Hey, Mom, home.
Hello.
Jack takes off his jacket as Lexi shuts the front door behind her.
What's your mom doing home in the middle of the day?
She's an emergency room nurse. She works a night shift. She's got the days off.
Really? Something smells amazing.
Yeah, she's a great cook.
She cooks?
Yeah. Come on.
Lexi looks around the cozy house. In the kitchen, Jack's mom wears a white nurse's uniform as she sets a dish on a table.
Hello.
Hi, Ma. This is my friend Lexi from school.
Hello, Lexi. Nice to meet you.
You too, Mrs. Downey.
I'm running a little behind, Jack. Would you do the dishes later?
Yeah, sure, Ma.
Would you like a lemon square?
She offers a plate. Lexi and Jack each take one.
This is delicious.
Thank you. So, what are you two working on?
It's just a...
School project.
A school project, right. So we'll be upstairs.
Oh, all right. Okay. Nice to meet you, Lexi.
You too.
Lexi takes a tissue as she follows Jack out of the kitchen. The teens head upstairs. At the landing, Jack turns toward a room while Lexi walks to a wall with framed photos. She sees a photo of a younger Jack, another in which a man in a suit stands with two women in white dresses, and a third showing Jack with a young man.
That's my brother.
Lexi eyes Jack with a slight smile.
You have a brother?
Yeah, that's Todd.
Does he live here?
No.
Where is he?
He's in the Navy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's stationed in Hawaii.
Oh, it's so wonderful there. The Grand Makiki is to die for. I had the best facial ever last time I was there. What's your favorite island?
I wouldn't know. I've never been to Hawaii.
Oh.
In a messy bedroom, Jack picks up a baseball glove and removes a shirt from a bunk bed. Lexi takes off her jacket.
Todd and I used to share this room before he went away.
You must miss him.
Yeah, I do.
So, where's your dad?
Well, he died a couple years ago.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry, Jack.
No, it's okay. Well, he was sick for a long time, but we took good care of him.
Must have been really hard.
It was really okay. I loved my dad.
Lexi lowers her gaze, then glances aside awkwardly.
Yeah, let's check out Meanie, huh? Here.
Jack pulls up a chair for Lexi. They sit down in front of a boxy computer.
So, what are all these trophies for?
I like to bowl.
I hear that you have to wear shoes that other people have worn.
Well, you know, real bowlers have their own shoes. I'm not quite sure, but I think they have their own socks and underwear, too. But that's the really good bowlers.
Is this the computer that Mr. Walker gave you?
Mm-hmm.
I can see why. It's ancient.
A webpage reads, New York Private Detective Listings. Jack searches for the name Charles Meanie.
It looks like there's a Charles Meanie licensed as a New York State private detective.
Well, there could be more than one Charles Meanie, or he could be lying.
Or this could be the Charles Meanie we met today.
It could be.
On the screen, text reads, checking mail, one new message.
That's not possible.
What's not possible?
I have an email.
Oh, yes, that is a surprise. But you must have some friends. Is it from?
It's from Mr. Walker.
What? Wait a minute, hold on. What is that?
It's a letter of recommendation you promised for my Millington scholarship renewal.
This is so weird. The letter itself was dated 4 days ago, but it wasn't sent until yesterday. How does a dead man send email?
Hey, Lexi, I just thought of something.
What?
Well, this was Mr. Walker's computer, right?
Yeah.
Jack pulls up the system info. Text reads, this product is licensed to Nicholas Petrosian.
Look at this. Nicholas Petrosian, NP.
The initials on the briefcase at Mr. Walker's house.
Outside Miss Dawson's apartment, the surveillance camera shifts down and sideways. On Gabe's monitor, Miss Dawson sits chatting with Mr. Goldblum. Jen removes a pager from her purse.
Lexi's paging us to meet her back at her place. And watching Miss Dawson was getting so good.
Okay, I'd better leave the camera running so we can check it out later. See if anything happens.
The sun hangs low in the sky. In her apartment, Lexi paces before the others.
Well, so Mr. Walker's real name is Nicholas Petrosian?
Well, you can't blame him for changing a name like that.
Hey, you think I could change my name?
Sure, why not? Okay, you guys, let's review today's developments.
Okay.
Now, we saw Miss Stern leaving Petrosian's apartment in Brooklyn, where a dubious detective claimed to be on the case. Uh-huh. Mr. Goldblum was leaving Miss Dawson's apartment.
All right.
And some homeless guy in Brooklyn was wearing Mr. Walker's jacket.
That is so bizarre. What was Miss Stern wearing? It was hard to tell, but I think...
Excuse me. Who cares? Can we continue?
Yeah, whatever.
Go right ahead.
Okay. We don't know why Miss Stern was at Mr. Walker's apartment. But even
let's not forget, she had some sort of argument with Mr. Walker right before he disappeared.
Yeah.
Totally fishy.
I thought exactly, Jen. Mm-hmm. Now, this detective, it was...
Well, what's wrong with him?
Nothing really. He was just sort of creepy, and he dressed way too flashy to be a detective.
You know, Cameron Diaz dressed pretty flashy in Charlie's Angels.
Jen...
Lexi frowns, and Jen's smile fades.
Okay, so it looks like Mr. Goldblum is somehow, involved with Miss Dawson?
But just yesterday, Mr. Walker broke her heart.
And then she threatened him.
Juicy, isn't it?
Maybe Mr. Goldblum and Miss Dawson conspired to get rid of Mr. Walker.
Whoa.
But what's their motive? I mean, just because he was at Miss Dawson's house doesn't mean
with
that...
his arm around her?
Mm-hmm.
Lexi bites her lip thoughtfully.
He was jealous.
But how do we explain this homeless guy?
I don't know. But there can't be more than one hideous Aussie coat like that in New York City.
Oh, come on, maybe the guy just found it.
Jack gapes at something on a screen.
No way.
What you got here, Jack?
I just ran a search on the name Nicholas Petrosian, and this came up in the Arizona Dispatch.
Nicholas Petrosian, a banker, mysteriously disappeared, and there's evidence to indicate that he may be dead. Just recently, he has been charged with fraud and embezzlement.
Petrosian is survived by his mother, who resides in Brighton Beach, New York.
I say we pay her a visit.
Sure, I'll work on getting her address.
At school, Lexi looks over Jen's shoulder at Jack.
You should have seen my outfit. It was so cute that everyone stared at me. I wear these adorable black capri pants with this leopard print t-shirt and these chunky shoes that came from...
Maybe I've underestimated Jack all this time. I mean, there's a lot more to him than I thought. It must be hard for him to go to school so far from home. And with his brother gone and his dad... I don't know what I'd do without my dad. But his mom's really sweet.
I'd call them your classic Mary Janes with thick soles, Velcro straps, and square toes. Your basic Prada knockoffs.
He always seems to be alone. I wonder who his best friend is. I really like spending time with Jack. Oh my gosh, what am I saying?
I got it.
What?
Miss Petrosian's address.
Are you serious? How'd you do that?
I used a little Brooklyn common sense. I checked the phone book.
No way.
Way? Yeah, she was listed in the white pages. I think we should go after school.
Okay.
All right.
Jack leaves.
I knew it.
What?
Oh, come on, Jen, this is work.
You mean it's working.
What's working?
Oh, you so like Jack. Can you just admit it?
Lexi shuts her locker and heads off. Jen follows her. Elsewhere, traffic crawls under an elevated rail line as people walk the streets. Two elderly men play chess on a sidewalk. Lexi and Jack walk past the chess players. Jack points across the street.
That's it right over there.
Oh, how cute! They have a wishing well.
The teens walk up the front steps of a small house. Jack opens the screen door to access the front door behind it. An older, bespectacled woman with red hair opens the door.
Hi, sorry to bother you, ma'am. We're looking for the mother of a Nicholas Petrosian.
There's no one here by that name.
Well, it's not really a name you forget, but maybe if you give it some thought, then...
I'm sorry.
Let him in.
What are you thinking?
They're
Don't
okay,
do
Mom.
This.
Mr. Walker approaches the front door.
Mr. Walker!
Come on.
Would you care for something? The eel is wonderful, very fresh. I'd say it was swimming around just this morning.
Oh, no, thank you.
I just ate.
Okay.
Mr. Walker's mother sets down a tray of bite-sized food on a coffee table, then takes a seat smiling.
That's a stunning pendant you're wearing.
Oh, yeah? Well, thank you. Years ago, I found it in a little junk shop outside Reno. I bought it with the nickels I won on the slots.
Lexi smiles.
I can't believe you're alive, Mr. Walker. We were thinking the worst.
Yeah, what's going on, Mr. Walker?
Well, it's complicated.
Oh, I tried to talk him out of this, but he's just as stubborn as his father was. You don't want to get me started.
Thank you, Mom.
Yeah.
Jack leans forward.
So do you want to fill us in on the fraud and embezzlement you were charged with in 87? We found out about that.
I guess I shouldn't be surprised you've always done your homework. But I'm not guilty. I was framed.
Oh, you can say that again.
In a flashback.
Back in the 80s, I was a young, eager banker in Arizona, working hard, trying to claw my way up the corporate ladder. I had just landed a really big, important account, and everyone started taking notice, especially Granville. I was on top of the world.
Summer? Gentlemen!
Who's Granville?
Oh, he was my boss.
I never liked that man.
Mother, please.
He shakes hands with his clients.
Well, it was short-lived anyway. Very soon after, somebody stole $10 million out of that new account and put it into a foreign account in my name. I was framed for the theft.
Why didn't you just withdraw it and turn it into the police?
Well, I immediately went to do that, but the account was empty.
And you never found out who framed you?
No, lots of people had access to the account.
What about the money? No idea where it went?
Not a clue. I sure wish I did, though.
The older woman nods.
How does $10 million just disappear?
home, Alex.
I knew that the police would soon show up, so I ran. But someone came after me and stalked me for months, leaving me threatening messages, accusing me of robbing the foreign account.
Someday the person who did this is going to get a piece of my mind. He's going to regret the day he was born.
It was a nightmare. I had to take drastic action, and I faked my own death in order to shake off my pursuer. Nicholas Petrosian was kaput.
And you created a whole new you.
Yeah. Orlando Walker was a teacher who had died the year before I came to town, and when I acquired his identity, I became a teacher too, and I loved it, you know, and I settled into my new life, and things went back to normal.
Jack smiles.
Then I met Miss Dawson.
Oh, she's the bee's knees.
In a flashback.
Egg salad?
Pumpernickel.
My favorite.
My favorite.
They eat lunch on a bench.
I went head over heels, and everything was going great until Lexi's article appeared in the newspaper.
Oh, my gosh. It looks like you were found because of my picture. I'm so sorry, Mr. Walker. I never had any intentions of hurting you.
I know you didn't, Lexi. Anyway, that afternoon, I felt somebody was following me. And when I got home, I found this note.
He takes a piece of paper from his shirt pocket.
It had rained and the ink smudged, so it's hard to read.
He hands it to Jack.
Know who you are. Under the palm, lobby at hotel Saturday at 2 p.m. You'll pay. If you don't pay, your girlfriend will.
Jack lifts his gaze from the paper.
You're being blackmailed, Mr. Walker. It looks like you're supposed to show up at some hotel on Saturday at 2 p.m. If you don't, something might happen to Miss Dawson.
And I have to figure out what hotel that is.
Do you know who wrote this note?
Whoever framed me way back when.
Well, right now we can't assume anyone is innocent until we have this mystery person cornered.
So if we find out what lobby we're supposed to be at, we can find the mystery person.
Yes, and I need to be there so that no harm comes to Miss Dawson.
Well, Mr. Walker, you have to come out in the open sometime. I mean, if you don't, how are you ever going to marry Miss Dawson?
Mr. Walker grins shyly.
Yeah. I'd love to marry her.
Oh, that's so sweet. Well, we need to find out which hotel it is, and then we can just use you as bait.
Jack nods. Now, Taylor opens her bedroom door.
What are you doing here? I live here, you geek. I mean, may I please have a moment? The suspense is killing me. What do you want? Out of the kindness of my heart, I've decided to clue you in.
Lexi enters her sister's room. Later, Taylor sits with the others in the TV room.
Anything on the disc?
Just air.
Let's go to work.
The group gathers around a coffee table. Taylor presses a remote control and the room door closes. Gabe grins. Taylor pulls on a latex glove. She grabs tweezers from a toolkit and carefully lifts Mr. Walker's smudged note. She inspects it, then sets it down. Opening various small jars, she applies different substances to the note. She runs a brush over the ink. She gives the note a quick spritz, then presses the remote, bathing the room in blue light. Taylor switches on a handheld black light and shines it over the note. The previously illegible words now glow clearly.
I know who you are. Meet me under the palm in the lobby at the Fairmark Hotel Saturday at 2 p.m. The Fairmark!
Oh, yes. Hey, kids, you in there?
The blue light turns off as Mr. Gold walks in.
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, hi, Dad.
Hi, how are you?
How's it going, Mr. Gold?
What are you guys doing?
Just learning some new dance steps.
Yeah.
The kids dance.
Yeah, okay. That shuffle ball changed, Taylor. Not change ball shuffle.
You're such an idiot.
I know, you really are.
Okay, well, I'm going to go and prepare for tomorrow's assignment.
Bye, Dad.
I love you.
Bye.
Okay, let's get a hold of Mr. Walker. Now, we just need to stake out the Fairmark at 2 p.m. tomorrow.
Now, Lexi jogs downstairs in a long black coat and dark shades. She grabs a slice of toast from the table where her dad sits reading the paper.
Hi, Dad. Bye, Dad.
Hold up, honey.
What's up?
There's been some troubling developments concerning Mr. Walker.
Lexi sits.
Police today have announced that missing school teacher Orlando Walker may be a wanted embezzler in hiding since 1987. A spokesperson for the police department says that Walker faces many years of prison if convicted. A sizable reward has been posted for information regarding Mr. Walker's whereabouts.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry, honey.
You can't always tell a book by its cover.
Well, does it say there if anyone knows where he is?
No, apparently he's still missing.
Great. I mean, I'm late. I gotta go, Dad. Have a nice day. I'll see you later. Bye, Gilda.
Bye, dear.
Lexi.
Yeah?
Taylor hurries downstairs.
I thought you could use these walkie-talkies. I picked up some extras.
Oh, that's a great idea. But are you sure?
You may need them.
Lexi hugs Taylor and takes the walkie-talkies.
Thanks.
Good luck.
You know, it just may keep you.
Lexi heads out.
Bye.
Taylor turns and walks off smiling. Now, swinging views take in Lexi's apartment building. Hailing a cab, Lexi climbs into the back, followed by Jen and Gabe. Jack gets into the front passenger seat. They all wear black. Later on foot, they round a corner, strutting side by side in slow motion. Jack carries a briefcase. In an alleyway, Lexi hands Mr. Walker a pair of dark glasses. The view alternates between the four teens moving down the sidewalk and the alleyway, where Jack passes Mr. Walker the briefcase. Mr. Walker takes a walkie-talkie consisting of a watch and an earpiece. The kids sport their own earpieces. Wearing the dark glasses, Mr. Walker dons a flat cap.
Okay, are you ready?
He gives two thumbs up. Close-up views take in each of the four teens strutting down the street in their shades. They enter a grand hotel through a revolving door. Inside, a sign lists hotel events in various rooms. Entering a common area with seating, the teens stop and look around. They head further inside. As they stop near a dining area, two elderly women look over from a table.
I think those kids are up to no good.
Desserts cover a round table.
That looks pretty good over there.
Oh, come on, Gabe.
Jack points out Mr. Walker approaching in his sunglasses and flat cap. Lexi takes off her glasses and gives him a thumbs up. He responds in kind. With the briefcase in hand, he sits in a chair.
Can you stand this? It's 2 o'clock.
Okay, guys, places.
The kids disperse. Jack sits in a chair and opens a newspaper. Gabe dashes behind a tall plant and crouches, filming on his camcorder. Lexi and Jen stand by a tall plant. Lexi holds her phone to her ear while Jen applies lipstick. Gabe straightens, pressing his lips together as he eyes the camcorder's viewfinder. Miss Dawson enters the common area.
Miss Dawson, I left her a message to lie low, but she probably didn't understand.
Miss Dawson heads to an elevator. Gaping at her, Mr. Walker gets to his feet.
No, don't do it, Mr. Walker.
Lexi speaks into her wristwatch. Mr. Walker sits back down. Miss Dawson moves aside as people leave the elevator, then gets in along with a few others. Jack frowns in his chair. As the kids keep a lookout, people in business attire walk past Lexi and Jen, with Mr. Goldblum in their midst. Jen spots him.
It's Mr. Goldblum! What?
Wearing a cardigan and bow tie, the newcomer heads through a door marked O'Hanlon's as Gabe films him.
Or not?
As Lexi and Jen continue watching, a burly man in a suit shoves the homeless man out the door. He breaks free and runs.
It's that homeless guy with Mr. Walker's coat.
The burly man chases him up a staircase.
And look, Mrs. P.
Mr. Walker's mother climbs the staircase. Miss Stern walks past the girls.
It's Miss Stern. Is she meeting Mr. Goldblum?
Jack squints in confusion as he watches Miss Stern enter O'Hanlon's. Gabe films her from behind the tall plant. Mr. Walker lowers his mouth to his watch.
I'm confused.
Okay, are we on some new TV show with hidden cameras and stuff?
Lexi.
Because I don't care what the prizes are. This is just getting too insane.
Lexi!
What?
Meanie exits an elevator.
Meanie!
The teens watch as he strolls over to Mr. Walker.
Petrosian.
Granville. I
can't believe it's you. You did this to me? Why? I was your best employee, your toughest deal maker.
I never did believe you were a dead man.
Well, you ruined my life. For all intents and purposes, I am dead.
Well, I must say, for a dead man, you certainly seem to be enjoying yourself.
He sits.
Right. Enjoy living my life on the run. You set me up.
Of course I did, old boy. You're such an easy mark. Why not make it easy on yourself now and hand it over?
I don't have the money.
Well, of course you don't have the money, you fool. Just give me what belongs to me.
Don't go there, Mr. Walker. Just trap him.
Mr. Walker touches his earpiece.
To make you go away, I'll give you half of it right now.
Half? Half? What are you talking about, you fool?
Meanie grabs the briefcase, exposing Mr. Walker's tape recorder. Meanie dumps the briefcase and bolts, knocking down a suitcase that Mr. Walker trips over.
Yeah, it's just my ankle. Don't let him get away.
The teens dash after Meanie. They stop at a staircase landing.
Okay, you two go up and Jack and I will go down.
They split up. Gabe and Jen race down a hallway. The homeless man runs in the other direction with the burly man in hot pursuit. Jack and Lexi hustle down a stairwell. The homeless man and his pursuer race through the hotel's hallways. A staff member pushing a serving cart stares after them.
What the?
Jen and Gabe pause at an intersection and look around, then continue. Behind them, Mrs. P hurries down the same hallway. Meanwhile, Jack and Lexi turn a corner into the hotel basement. They descend a staircase into a boiler room. They spot Meanie darting past machinery.
There he is, come on!
As the teens run down a parallel path, Meanie ducks out of view. Jack and Lexi slowly move forward. Creeping up to a stack of metal drums, Meanie hoists one and flings it at the pair. The drums tumble as Meanie bolts. Jack looks around and spots him near a ladder. As the teens step over the fallen drums and move toward him, Meanie yanks a lever that reads danger. Steam spews from valves in front of Jack and Lexi. They back off. Meanie climbs the ladder. Lexi's bracelet gets caught on a pipe. Steam gushes next to her. Jack finds a bolt cutter. Lexi stands directly in front of an open valve. Jack cuts through her bracelet.
Come on.
They dash away just as steam bursts from the valve. Exiting the boiler room, the teens catch their breath.
Wow. Thank you, Jack.
Lexi kisses him on the cheek. Jack smiles sheepishly.
Come on.
They hurry down a long corridor lined with doors.
Which way do we go?
They turn a corner. Lexi stops at a door. A crooked sign disguises a ladies' locker room as the Fairmark Hotel and Spa.
Wait here, Jack.
She goes in. Lexi spots clothing stuffed in a trash can.
Hello?
She heads to an area with rows of lockers.
Hello? Hello?
Miss Dawson sits tied up in a chair wearing a bathrobe.
Oh my gosh, Miss Dawson! Are you okay?
She wears a facial mask.
Talk about a fashion emergency.
Lexi lowers her gag and unties her.
I receive an exclusive invitation for a free day at the spa, and this is what it gets me. What in the world is going on here? What are you doing here?
Well, it's a long story. But for starters, Mr. Walker's alive.
What?
Well, you're gonna flip when you hear the details. But they're gonna have to wait. Right now, we have to 86 Granville. He's the guy that issued this oh-so-exclusive invitation. Miss Dawson.
Lexi cringes at Miss Dawson's feet, soaking in two tubs as she helps her teacher up from her chair. They head to the showers. Lexi pops into a stall.
Oh, forgive me for hosing you down like this, but I've got to go.
She She guides Miss Dawson under the running water and closes the curtain. Now, Gabe and Jen run towards an elevator bank. Gabe pushes the call button. They enter the elevator on the 16th floor and exit on the 9th. They re-enter the elevator on the 22nd floor and exit on the 7th, passing Mrs. P as she steps in. Meanwhile, the homeless man runs down a brightly lit hallway. Chasing him, the burly man bumps into a cleaning lady, knocking her over.
You okay?
The man dashes off. A room door opens and the homeless guy peers out, looking up and down the hallway. He steps out of the room and calmly walks away. In a conference room, people gather in front of a man standing at a podium.
Ladies and gentlemen, quiet please. May I have your attention?
The homeless man enters.
Thank you.
People cringe.
I am pleased to introduce someone who has spent the last 4 weeks living undercover as a homeless man on the streets of Brooklyn. He's here today to tell us his story.
Mr. Gold looks on.
Ladies and gentlemen, City Council member Gary I Care.
Gary steps up to the podium and removes his knit cap and wig. He takes off his trench coat, revealing a suit underneath. Jack and Lexi run past the entrance. They double back and enter the conference room as Gary gets a standing ovation. Gary holds up his hand and the audience sits.
I am proud to stand before you today as a man with some small insight into the poverty on our streets. Do you see this old coat?
Lexi watches closely.
To some, a coat is merely an accessory, a fashion statement. To others, a coat is a form of shelter, a means of survival. This dreary old coat is practically the only offering of kindness I received in the past month. A man literally took it off his back to keep me warm.
The burly man enters the room, throws up his hands, and leaves. Gary drops the coat.
That rag a form of shelter? Never thought of it that way.
Well, it's the first time for everything.
Jack spots Meanie running by.
Hey, come on.
Lexi's dad spots her.
Lexi.
Now, Mrs. P enters the hotel restaurant and slumps into a chair. A waiter approaches her.
Ma'am.
Oh, get me a cold one, Garson.
Right away.
Meanie races downstairs, barreling between a couple on their way up. Pursued by the teens, he tears through the restaurant. Bringing up the rear, Lexi runs into her teacher.
Mr. Walker!
Have you seen Miss Dawson?
Oh, there she is.
Miss Dawson rushes down the stairs, still in her robe. Mr. Walker hurries over, lifting her up into a hug. She caresses his balding head as he spins her in slow motion. Mrs. P puts her hands over her heart.
Aren't they just the bee's knees?
Jack, Gabe, and Jen run over.
We lost him.
What?
What's going on here?
Hello. We're just having some tea with my grandma. Come on, guys.
They sit with Mrs. P. Jen puts an arm around her.
Grandma! Can I get you a Napoleon?
Thank you, sweetheart.
Gabe and Jen head off while Jack and Lexi remain seated.
Hey, he couldn't have gotten too far.
Jack looks around.
Now everyone be cool. Oh, wait, I have an idea.
Lexi takes out her rearview glasses and puts them on. As Jack watches, she presses a button on the side. The glasses show Mrs. P in one half of the lens and Meanie in the other. Jen watches from a buffet table as she puts pastries on a plate. Gabe eats from the buffet. In Lexi's video feed, Meanie grabs a newspaper and assumes a casual position.
Jack, there he is.
Go get him.
Jack stands, but two elderly women block his way. He darts in another direction. Jack spots two chefs bringing out a three-tiered cake and pushes a serving cart toward them. The cake flies into the air in Meanie's direction. Lexi winces as the cake hits Meanie in the face, smearing him with frosting. He falls covered in cake. Detective Potter, now clean-shaven, enters and flashes his badge.
Granville Falco masquerading as Detective Meanie. What kind of an alias is that? Oh, he was a meanie, all right. We'll see how mean he is behind bars. It seems that Miss Stern liked Mr. Walker, and she got a little jealous about Miss Dawson when she saw the picture in the paper. She went snooping around his place to see if he had disappeared just to avoid her. Meanwhile, Mr. Goldblum was being rejected by Miss Dawson. But as you can see, he soon set his sights on Miss Stern. And voila! All's well that ends well.
They walk arm in arm.
Oh, boy. Mr. Walker's mom.
Mrs. P beams as her son hugs Miss Dawson.
Don't they look sweet together? We just have this teeny-weeny little problem about Mr. Walker's future. I'm pretty sure Miss Dawson would prefer not to be married in a prison chapel. I must say, Detective Potter looks so much better without the knobs. And last but not least, Dad.
Mr. Gold runs over.
Dad?
Lying on the floor, Granville wipes cake from his eyes. Two cops haul him to his feet.
I have waited years for this moment. I passed two kidney stones and a case of sciatica in the time it's taken me to see you in handcuffs. I'd have grandchildren by now if it weren't for you.
You're under arrest for charges of impersonating an officer and federal charges of embezzlement and fraud.
Good riddance. Someday, I'll get you, Petrosian.
Sir, I gotta arrest you, too. You're on the same charge as your pal here.
But that's your man. He framed Mr. Walker.
The money disappeared from his Swiss account. If you're innocent, Mr. Petrosian, what happened to the money?
I wish I knew.
Oh, babe.
Lexi eyes Mrs. P's brooches.
Mrs. Petrosian, where did you get that hideous, extremely unique bumblebee brooch?
Miss Gold, this is hardly the time.
I'm sorry, but this really is very important.
This? Well, let's see. I've had it since Reagan was in office. Actually, I found it. I had gone to the bank to meet my son for lunch. There was a paper bag on the floor, so I picked it up. Inside was the most magnificent piece of jewelry I had ever seen. I'm telling you, it would have cost $25 at the flea market.
She shows it to her son.
Look what I found.
Wow.
We figured it must belong to somebody in the bank. But the next day, my poor son was on the run. I never had a chance to find the owner.
Everyone behold, a very rare canary diamond. It's so rare that there are less than 30 certified canary diamonds around the world. With its vivid color, unique shape, and flawless condition, it's probably worth around $10 million.
Potter nods.
This is wonderful.
I think that Meanie, Granville, took the money out of the Swiss account. He put it in there so he could take it out. Then he bought the diamond to hide the money.
I thought you stole it, Petrosian. I was taken to a safety deposit box, and then it was gone. Now give it back to me!
Get him out of here!
Give it back to me! It's mine!
The officers drag him away. Gabe films.
You're a genius, Lexi.
Lexi smiles.
What part of the brain do you store this information?
The bauble department.
Now, a headline reads, "No substitute for missing teacher," above a photo of Mr. Walker and the teens. Miss Dawson hands the paper to Lexi.
Have you seen the morning paper?
Yeah.
You made the front page. That's your byline.
Yeah. I can't believe it.
Maybe you should be one of my career day speakers as a journalist. Maybe even as a detective.
Well, my dad says they're both kind of the same.
Orlando and I want to thank you. The police have finished their investigation, and he's a free man now.
That's wonderful. Gosh, Miss Dawson, I mean, I just took my dad's advice. You'd be amazed what hard work, imagination, and a little luck can bring you.
Maybe we should invite your dad to speak.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
I gotta go. I'm meeting Orlando. He wants to ask me something.
Okay, I'll see you later. Bye.
Miss Dawson leaves.
Oh my gosh.
Now, Mr. Goldblum opens a door for Miss Dawson, who exits a building in a wedding gown. Mr. Walker follows, wearing a tuxedo and top hat. They kiss. Mrs. P walks behind the couple as they hold hands and descend the front steps.
Hi.
A crowd stands gathered on the sidewalk. Mr. Walker waves to Lexi and Jen.
Hey,
A horse-drawn carriage waits for the newlyweds. As they climb in, Mrs. P rushes past Lexi and Jen.
I'll have grandchildren.
I'm liking the Dalmatian look on Mrs. P.
Oh, yes. That is a tail wagger.
She gets in the carriage.
Is she going on the honeymoon, too?
Hi, everyone. Bye.
The carriage moves off. Gabe films Lexi and Jen.
Hey, Gabe. I'm sorry that Diane aired the story before you did.
That's okay. I got a call to Geraldo. So tell me, what's your whole secret?
What?
Come on, you always get the inside story.
Gabe.
Lexi takes the camcorder.
Okay. There is no secret. It's all about the skill. Oh, hey, Jack. Heard that you got your scholarship renewed. Congratulations.
Hey, Jen.
Gabe and Jen head off.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to going back to Millington. Partly because of you.
Well, you didn't have to say that, but since you already did.
Lexi looks down, smiling faintly.
You did a great job, Lexi, on the case. You should be proud of yourself.
Well, I learned something totally important from you, Jack. Things aren't always what they appear to be. And that's good. It keeps life interesting.
Jack nods, then points to a shopping bag.
Are you starting a new paper handbag trend?
Get a clue, Jack. I've been shopping.
Of course.
It's for you.
She hands him the bag. He takes out a pair of bowling shoes.
I found them at a vintage shop, and I sort of customized them.
Jack smiles.
Thank you. I like
them. Well, I thought maybe we could go bowling sometime.
I don't think so. Hey, no, that'd be fun, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The four teens walk together.
All right, so what about the shoes that other people have worn?
The shoes? Ew. I think I can survive wearing pre-worn shoes, guys.
Lexi, are you crazy? You don't know where those shoes have been.
Does the word bunga mean anything to you? Come on, Jen. My feet aren't that elite. Neither are yours. Get with the planet. New York has got to be the coolest city in the world. It has a little bit of everything. Be it mystery, intrigue, or good friends, it's all here. And if you can't find it, well, then you just have to get a clue.
Fade to black.
Got a little answer, there is something going on now. The clothes I bought, the friends I got, my teacher had a meltdown. Then I look at me, and I start to see. And a voice inside tells me what I must do. Boo new, it's me, it's you, get a clue. There's nothing you can do. And nothing's ever quite what it seems. Just look a little closer at me. Wake up, boo new, it's me, it's you, get a clue. Get a clue. Wake up, boo new.
Audio description funded by Walt Disney Studios. Voice by Darren Revis. A logo appears, Disney Channel. Against a blue background sits a louvered image of a castle.